What about we just completely try to boost our own ratings by saying that Greg Leahy has joined us?
Ooh, and then put troll face.
But it's just you.
Greg Doppelganger Leahy.
Welcome to the Negative World Podcast, the podcast about video games by the Nintendo fans at NegativeWorld.org. This is episode 33, and it's a very special E3 2012 episode. One of two special episodes that we'll be having. Today is Thursday, June 7th, 2012, and I'm recording currently with just my buddy and co-host, Ninsage.
Hey, how's it going?
Also known as Joe, of course. And what we're going to be doing with this episode and episode 34 is going to be quite a bit different than normal. We're, instead of having our now playing segment and talking about kind of game news, because obviously there's tons of game news right now. You've probably heard tons of it. If you're listening to this podcast, you clearly already have seeked it out. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk a little bit here briefly, but then we're going to invite guests on one by one, three per episode or so, and we're going to have 20-minute segments like normal, but we're going to be talking about things that kind of relate to E3 as a whole, or things that kind of came up via E3, etc. Because it's, you know, Thursday, and now we've seen the major conferences, because then, you know, plural, because Nintendo's done quite a few this year. It's been quite interesting. And so that's how these episodes are going to go.
Sounds good. Should we just launch right into it?
Yeah, I think so. So each guest is going to be asked a series of five quick questions, some basic stuff that we just want to get out there, and then they're going to bring their own topic into the fray. So first I want to ask you, Joe, the five questions that we're going to be asking our guests. Mm-hmm. So first, I wanted to know, will you be buying a Wii U at launch?
Yeah, I think that, you know, this is sort of, I think I may sort of have to give my PR speak answer and say that I will be buying a Wii U in the launch window, if you will, because I'm sure we're going to be probably getting it for Christmas in some way or another, either my wife and I will get it for each other kind of thing or something. So, I might not play it until, you know, December 26th or whatever, but I'm sure we'll be picking it up very shortly after it comes out. What about yourself?
Emphatically, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, ever since I was actually in control of my own funds and my own purchases and things like that, I've been buying day one adapter. And with a lot of products, it tends to be a bad thing sometimes because things aren't ready. And Nintendo probably won't have some things ready. But I literally will not be able to resist buying it on day one. I will feel very strange, and I don't even want to go to that sort of place if I don't have it on day one. I'll probably try to pre-order and not have to camp out, but I camped out for the Wii and I would do it again.
You know, I've actually never bought, I think, any hardware on day one. But this one, you know, even if it ends up being gifts to each other or whatever, you know, we might do that if it makes sense. How do like the pre-orders work? Because it seems like, especially with the last couple of Nintendo consoles, it's like people, as you said, they just have to like wait on the corner of the street anyway, and then like hope the delivery truck comes by with enough units. So like, what does the pre-ordering really do? And like, why is that so unreliable? Like, talk me through what a day one purchase is usually like.
Well, see, I'm trying to remember now over the years with my GameCube day one buy. I got that from a store called FYE, and it was in the mall. And they actually opened the store up by itself without opening the mall up just to, you know, sell it. And I was one of three people who was waiting to get in. I think I came like 10 minutes early or whatever. And, I remember they even didn't even open up the whole fence gate thing. They just, they're like halfway and we had to like crawl underneath. then they sold it to us and that was that. With the Wii, I don't remember why I didn't pre-order it. I mean, I'm not someone who hates GameStop, so I would have probably tried to pre-order it from there. I've been going to the same GameStop for years, when mm-hmm. I don't want to wait through Amazon, because those are like my two ways that I buy games mainly. But no, I sat outside a Target at like 10 o'clock at night until 8 a.m. And I was already like 15th in line.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I don't remember why that happened, but I do remember that my cousin was out there with me and we froze our asses off. But I brought homework to do, and like I remember passing out between like 4 and 5, and then I don't know. But it was like, and they didn't do pre-orders, so what they did is when we lined up, we all lined up, and of course you have to keep your spot and everything. But then around 8 o'clock, right before they opened the stores, they gave everyone a ticket, in order of the line, and then until they ran out of tickets, you know.
All right.
And then that way you knew if you were actually going to get one or not.
Okay.
And then
so those tickets were. Those tickets were based on how many units they knew they were going to have that day.
Yeah. Got it. But that kind of sucks. I don't want to go through that kind of stress again of not knowing, because I think people now are on to this whole Wii thing, and they know that it. I don't know. I think it'll be hard to get one of these at launch. At least as hard as it was to get a Wii.
Right.
Well, maybe not as much, because I can't imagine everyone who has a Wii jumping right to it. Like, I mean, yourself even.
Sure.
And it's not really going after the same mom and dad novelty that the Wii did in the first place, but it's still going to be a little bit tricky, I think. So,
well, and I would not single Nintendo out for this, but do you think that hardware manufacturers, if they ever kind of like keep the supply low initially to try to So, I mean, I don't know if they would do something like that or what.
I don't doubt that Nintendo did that with the Wii.
You know?
I mean, they had a lot to sell, but I think that I feel like that at least in the months coming after it, that they didn't just unleash it all to get them out as fast as possible because they wanted that chatter. Because it was 6 months later and it was still hard to get a Wii. A year later, I think it was even.
Oh yeah. So no, we got ours. My wife got ours the following Christmas, and she still had to, like I said, like stock delivery trucks, and she had like. She knew all the delivery times at all these different stores and stuff, and she would go and take like lunch breaks longer than she was supposed to try to see if the, you know, if they were going to get some in and whatever. So that was a year later. So,
but yeah, so I want to know really quick though, what is your most anticipated game based on what you saw at E3?
Based on what I saw at E3, I would have to say, and I hope this isn't too much of a vanilla answer, but New Super Mario Bros. U, because...
No.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I just... You know, what can I say? I'm not tired of that gameplay style. I don't think it's stale. I don't think that, like, something that, in its essence, is so fun can really... get stale. It certainly not after what, 4 games or whatever this is going to be. And what really got me psyched, two things. One is the flying squirrel transformation, which apparently we're not allowed to call a suit. It's a transformation, right? I don't know what the distinction is. I guess
it's their way of going back to the cape, probably, without calling it a cape.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday they'll have, like, you know, like how there's a raccoon. You know, ears and tail, and then there's a tanuki suit. Maybe there'll be like a full flying squirrel suit someday. Yeah. Who knows? But that looks really fun. And, I don't know. I'm just a sucker for those, you know, the cute little put animal ears and a tail on Mario and have him do something cute. I just, I loved the penguin suit for that reason. So I'm going to be all over the flying squirrel. And then the second thing is, the asymmetric gameplay with the tablet. I mean, I probably am going to be asking to be the tablet controller guy because I just think it's going to be so fun, especially with the kind of people that I know in, you know, my real life that would come over for local multiplayer. You know, they're maybe not the most super skilled gamers that maybe folks like you and I are used to talking to at the very least. And, you know, when people who cover gaming for a living, you know, everyone's experts at platformers, but the kind of people I know, I think they are going to have a lot of fun if someone like me is there to, like, you know, put in little extra platforms or stun enemies or whatever it is, and that's going to make it more fun for me. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I do hope, one little caveat, I do hope that there is some explanation for why, like, platforms can just magically appear in the game. I don't care if they do it something hokey, like the like a third toad has found some magical looking glass that he can, you know, touch and put platforms in. I don't care how they explain it. I just hope they give it something. Like Rayman Origins, there's that other, or Legends, sorry. There's that other character that supposedly has all these, you know, tablet powers, and I hope that they do something like that for Mario Brothers U. But yeah. What about yourself?
For me, I'm kind of cheating because it's kind of a run between three of them. New Super Mario Brothers U is definitely one of them, and it was kind of my initial most anticipated game because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't mind the whole bop, bop, as much as everyone else does, so I think
I don't know why people are even making a big deal about that.
I don't know. I mean,
see how that could possibly be an issue, but
I mean, I don't know. People will find ways to nitpick everything, but I mean, at the same time, if you know, if that's a deterrent to their fun, I guess I can understand, you know.
Sure.
But yeah, so there's that game. I think it looks really beautiful, and I need to buy an HD TV because it's hard enough reading Xenoblade's text on my TV right now.
Okay.
But I really need to get now that Nintendo's joining the HD arena, I need to be able to have some HD output. So I'm definitely going to
prices of those keep coming down, right? So.
Oh yeah, totally. It's going to, for my needs, because my room's kind of small anyway, I under $500 easy for a nice TV. That's a pretty decent size. So I'm not concerned about that so much, but I'm definitely going to need to get on that because these games look really great. And that brings me to my second one, which is Pikmin 3, which I've never played Pikmin for more than an hour, maybe. I rented the first one way back when it came out. I didn't really get it. I didn't really care for it. I just let it go back. Little King Story is what got me into real-time strategy of that nature.
Okay.
And I don't know what compelled me to buy the game, but I loved it. And I know that's pretty much what Pikmin is, and this actually has controls that I wished were in Little King Story. So I think that, along with just how beautiful the game looks, I'm going to love the hell out of it. So definitely that. And then Zombie U, I'm a big zombie fan.
Okay.
And I'm really excited by this whole, once you die, that's it. You become a new character kind of thing. Assuming that it doesn't mean that if I'm bad at the game or not that great, I don't just end up being weak characters until I finally drudge my ass through the whole game. So if I never really get to power up and enjoy it for a while, then I'm going to be pissed off because I don't know how the game is going to be designed, but if...
Well, you know that when you die, that person becomes a zombie, and then if your next character goes and kills them, then you get all your stuff.
But does that mean that your skills are also upgraded?
That is true. That I'm not sure about.
Because if, like, if the weapon you have goes back to a standard weapon...
Right.
But yeah, okay, that would be an interesting way of keeping your hip, or your just your energy, your levels, etc.
Right.
But yeah, so anyway, we'll probably talk more about games like this in our later topic. So,
yes.
Really quick, do you have a favorite moment of E3?
Yes. It was really just something very small. It was while I was watching the 3DS conference, a game that I've sort of been on the fence about. I guess I'm still sort of on the fence about it, but the Castlevania Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate, subtitle of subtitles. The Alucard reveal, the fact that he is going to be in the game. That's a big deal for me. Not that I'm like some Symphony of the Night, you know, fanboy or whatever, but I just think that the fact that he's like more of a magic kind of based character, usually has these interesting powers, there could be something really fun that they could do with him. So I'm looking forward to finding out more about that. And that was one of the few real surprises of like the whole week for me. So that was really cool. What about for yourself?
For me, I think it was, the game reveals aside, everything was, I thought it was overall enjoyable, but honestly, I just liked the cute video of Miyamoto and the Pikmin at the front of the show. That was just a nice little, you know, cinema.
That was probably about second on my list, actually. Favorite moments.
I guess
it was just heartwarming.
Yeah, I think just the production values of this show, as far as like how they took themselves, was really great. Because I saw the I didn't watch the Sony conference, but I watched the Microsoft it was the Ubisoft one, I think, which had
Aisha Tyler.
Yeah. And, you know, and she's an attractive woman, and I enjoy her presence and everything, but she also was just, like, reading off these horribly written jokes and everything. Like, the way that they, the demographic they were going for and the way they were launching their products was kind of annoying to me, while Nintendo, I felt, was just very Japanese, pleasant and official and business-like. Sure. And I think Reggie's presence also takes care of that, because he's a very professional guy, despite he can be relaxed at times, but... Mm-hmm. He has a lot more presence than anyone else in the industry, I think.
Yeah, I always appreciate that about the Nintendo conferences. I don't know if it's just, you know, my own bias towards liking the company, but I always feel that the people they have and the way they speak is usually the most preferable.
I know, that Cammy Dunaway, I mean, everyone just loved her, you know?
Aside from her, that is.
No, yeah, exactly. So, okay, that said, what was the show missing for you?
Well, it comes down to one thing, which is sort of just a general concept, I guess, because I wasn't expecting a certain game reveal or anything like that. But I was just sort of hoping and expecting that Nintendo would take this opportunity to just prove to, you know, the masses, not just folks like us, that they are not a second class gaming citizen. And, you know, that can mean whatever you want it to mean. To me, it's not just quote unquote winning back the hardcore or anything like that. Cause I wouldn't have liked it if they got up there and just showed, you know, oh, generic shooter and brutal, violent, you know, cover based shooter or whatever, you know, that wouldn't have done it. But I was just hoping that they would come out and just show, like, there's no excuses for third parties. This is a viable platform. You know, there's no excuses for gaming journalists not to take us seriously. You know, we're Nintendo, damn it. We know what we're doing. And now we've got, you know, another console to prove it to you. And, you know, I just feel that they sort of, they had a chance to really knock it out of the park. And I just feel like they just sort of, you know, they came with good stuff, but I don't think their goal was what I thought it would be. I don't think they shared that goal. Their goal was, you know, just sort of a showcase for what they have coming in the next 6 months. And, you know, they achieved that goal, and that was all they were there to do, I think. So,
yeah, I think that they did great on an overall sense, but there was a missing bit of magic, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like you know how Disney has did that Disney magic, that kind of special feeling that
right.
They can produce, especially with their characters. I think Nintendo didn't capitalize on that as they have in the past.
Well, and I think that it really, there's two really tangible ways in which that's evident. And one of them is going to be in the next, my answer to the next question. But just the fact that, you know, after they showed Nintendo Land, which, you know, looks good and looks like a lot of great fun, I think everyone in that whole room and everyone watching at home was expecting, like, okay, this is good. You know, this is interesting, but there's going to be that one big, you know, home run swing right after this to close out the show. And as much as I don't put a lot of stock in what Shane Satterfield or whatever, the guy from Game Trailers,
mm-hmm.
He was saying that, you know, he was in the audience and everyone was like, you know, when those fireworks came up at the end after the
intent
plan, he said everyone was just, you know, normally at that point in the conference, everyone stands up and they're halfway to the door. He said everyone was just sitting in their seats because they were so sure that there was going to be one more big surprise after that, or just big announcement or big showcase or something. And everyone was just sitting there looking at each other and then, like, looking at the fireworks, and they were like, is it over? Is it not over? And so I think that was just the kind of thing, you know, if you talk about something missing, that should have been one little thing maybe right there that I think would have really helped.
But. Well, we'll tie that into what it was missing for me, and I think it was missing an Animal Crossing 2012 release date.
Yeah.
So maybe the fireworks should have, like, dissolved into, you know, the town of Animal Crossing, and then they could have explained, hey, coming this Christmas, and then everyone would have went crazy, pandemonium, just like me.
No, it's true. It's true.
I mean,
that's all they would have needed to do, really.
Yeah. I don't know. I understand that, but I guess that's waiting for the next Nintendo Direct or something.
Yeah, that probably.
So lastly, real quick, and then we are going to talk with Greg, but what did you think of Nintendo splitting its conferences over several days? Events and stuff.
Yeah, normally I really like that sort of thing. I think it gives them a chance to, because I don't know how much they love the E3 formula, so to speak. I don't know how comfortable they are with that, because I think Nintendo, you know, just really loves to sort of do things their own way. I don't see that as being just like a stubbornness thing like some people do. I just think, hey, Nintendo is a pretty visionary, different company. So, you know, let them disseminate information the way they want. And so I was really excited that they sort of, you know, they broke it up into all these different sort of bite-sized pieces. I thought each one had sort of a different feel to it. You know, the original Nintendo Direct, sort of like, I don't know if intimate's the right word, but it was like, you know, like a one-on-one conversation with Iwata almost, which is kind of interesting.
I thought it was important for that to have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the fact that he was just in like some humble little conference room with like Japanese words above his head and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the 3DS one, you know, gave a chance for that hardware to stand on its own and everything. And of course, they always do the round table. The only drawback to it, and this gets back to my last point, was when I heard that they were doing, you know, so many different events and spread out over so much time. And when they said, you know, Sunday, the Nintendo Direct is going to be just about the Wii U hardware, I think everyone started building up in their minds, and myself included, that, well, this means they just have so many great, amazing game announcements to make.
Yeah,
you know, there's just not possibly time to discuss it all, so they're gonna have to, you know, break it up. So I think that sort of set people up for a little artificial disappointment. But other than that, it was a good technique.
Yeah, there was a lot of redundancy in the end.
Truly, yeah.
Which is, well, like for me, my response to that is that I liked it, and I think that a slow burn is better than a flash in the pan. However, when the slow burn is the same kind
the
of
same
groove. Yeah, like, then it just gets boring, you know?
Yeah.
Again, like, people have commented that they were showing off, you know, 3DS games during the main conference when they said that they weren't going to because they were going to have their own conference. And then they also were explaining the Wii a little bit, despite they just had the Nintendo Direct about it. That was a little bit redundant. I would have liked something else there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as a show, as a pure entertainment program to disseminate news,
yeah,
I mean, it was fine. I enjoyed it. And again, I preferred the stretch.
Yeah, and it's as you said. I mean, if E3 is going to be like this big deal, then it's kind of nice to have it, you know, spread out over a couple days instead of just 1 hour, you know?
So. Yeah, exactly. I didn't have to, you know, I didn't feel so bad about not taking off work because, you know, I got the Sunday conference and the other conferences were all at night except for the main one. So it was overall pretty good. So that kind of is our questionnaire, and I think it's time to invite our first guest.
Okay.
So we'll be back shortly with Greg. Alright, and we're back. I've got our first guest here. It's the Big G753.
Hello.
And known as Greg. And he's going to talk about Nintendo's year one strategy with the Wii U. He's got some interesting things to point out, and I think it'll be a great discussion. But first, me and Joe want to ask him the five questions that we've been talking about. So, Greg, first question, are you going to be buying a Wii U at launch?
Right now, I would say I'm on the fence, probably leaning no. Not that I'm, you know, disappointed with what the system's future is. I'm still very excited for it. Just the launch lineup doesn't have that one killer game that, you know, is really pushing me to go get it day one. A lot of that was I just never really got into Pikmin way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm sure it's going to be good. There's like four or five games in that launch lineup that, you know, if I own the system, I would probably get, or at least check out, but it doesn't have that Zelda, you know, Melee, that type of game that's, you know, really twisting my arm to go get it the first day. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's not many systems that I do get on day one. 360 had a pretty bland launch. I didn't get that for like a year. So really looking forward to what's coming next year. You know, the games are coming. I think people have a knee-jerk reaction to say, you know, Nintendo doesn't have anything. I think things are going to be fine.
Yeah, year after year, generation after generation, you look back and they kicked ass every single time. You know what I mean? There's always a ton of great games. And as long as you don't necessarily look at it microscopically at when they all came out. Some, you know, they do have their dry spells and stuff, but the games will always be there.
Yep. And with my backlog, I'm not exactly that disappointed about not getting a new console this fall. I'm looking over at my shelf right now and all the Wii 1 games I haven't played yet and wondering when I'm going to find the time. So, you know, I can wait a little.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, okay, then. So what is your most anticipated game then, if you're not going to be getting it at launch, but still, based on E3, what are you most hyped about?
I think the game at the show that I'm keeping my eye on the most is Zombie U. I think being a big survival horror fan and kind of how that genre is in the tank right now, I think a lot of the, you know, the concepts behind that game are really neat.
Mm-hmm.
I really want that game to be good. And I think if Red Steel 1 never happened, I would probably be a lot more optimistic about it.
Yeah, it does kind of have a similar feel, but I think already it's breaking away from looking like that, you know?
I was surprised at how, reluctant Ubisoft and Nintendo both were, you know, at both the Ubisoft conference and the Nintendo conference, you know, to not show any real footage. So you kind of got the impression that the game was going to be trash, but I mean, I watched it on game trailers. It looks, you know, really good.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for that game that it's, and I'm getting this impression that it will be, but that it'll be more like meaningful encounters with, you know, one or two zombies at a time and sort of spaced out, you know, good pacing as opposed to just like waves of zombies at any given point. Is that the impression you were getting as well?
Yeah, just by watching one video of a mission, you know, it looked kind of like that Half-Life 2 style of game where you weren't exactly going from point A to one point B on a linear path. You know, there was kind of a lot of exploration. You know, it's supposedly an open world. They're doing some really neat stuff there. It's different from a lot of first-person shooters. I'm keeping my eye on it. I really hope it turns out to be a good game.
Definitely.
I guess time will tell.
Cool. So what, if you had to pick a favorite moment from this E3, is there one that stands out to you?
That opening video of Miyamoto. I mean, it was just so charming.
Oh, yeah. That was mine, too, my pick. It was really nice.
You know, the day before of E3, it was all a bunch of violent shooting games and F-bombs. And, you know, the Nintendo show starts up and I had such a smile on my face, you know, with Miyamoto coming out and grabbing the Pikmin. It was just a great moment for, you know, an otherwise dark show.
You could tell that goofy bastard was so, like, happy to pull that Pikmin out of his pocket and finish the bit. Like, he's like an adorable, like, elderly man, you know? But he also is the godfather of our gaming experiences. So it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, and you raise a good point because this E3 especially, I don't know what's going on. It's just the end of the console cycle, but like it seems like the violence and the brutality has just skyrocketed. I've seen articles on it, which to have that sort of reaction coming from the gaming community is, I think, speaks volumes in and of itself.
Only thing I can think of is, you know, I mean, you guys are talking non-Nintendo because I don't feel like Nintendo.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be. I mean, this is my initial reaction, but it's got to be just desperate to make sales before people get too fatigued. Like, look, you know, you can blow people up even bigger than 2 years ago. Like, look at this. Yeah. You know, it's effing awesome. Like,
I'm watching it on, you know, Spike TV, so they're bleeping everything out. And, you know, I'm watching like a kind of interesting demo of like The Last of Us and, you know, Watch Dogs. And like, I'm just hearing all these beeps. And it's like, this just taking me out of this impressive looking demo. Yeah. And
Watch Dogs really kind of, I mean, people know who have listened to the podcast, I swear, you know, I'm not shy about it, I do it all the time, but even Watch Dogs did make me a little uncomfortable. It was just kind of like, or no, was it that, or was it that ninja game, or Assassin's Creed, was it maybe? I don't know. A lot of F-bombs in one of the games, but it made me even uncomfortable. I was kind of surprised at that.
it was just a very, very crude show overall that first day, so I mean, Miyamoto really juxtaposes that really nice coming out and it was just a great moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So would you say there was anything that was missing from E3 overall, in your opinion?
I think
something you were looking for, expecting, that didn't happen or anything like that?
I think the one thing that was missing from Nintendo's show, and I don't know what game it had to be, it was really missing that one game that really showed off, you know, what can the system do from a visual standpoint. I think a lot of people probably looked at it being maybe Retro's game. But, you know, it really could have been any one of their franchises, you know, Star Fox, F-Zero. It was just missing that one game that really showed the horsepower behind the system.
I feel like they probably could have done it with Pikmin. I mean, looking at that, it looks gorgeous. I feel like they, not that it's necessarily a mistake, but I think they focused more on the gameplay and probably to their credit, less on like, ooh, look at how gorgeous it is, you know? I mean, because they probably could have pulled that off with that title, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Pikmin looks really good. I don't think it's going to, you know, make people think that it's this huge jump in power. I mean, it looks really nice for what that is. You know, both that and Super Mario Brothers have a really great, clean style to it.
But it's not rendering Ellen Page's face.
Yeah, it was just kind of missing that one graphical showpiece. Maybe, you know, sort of like what the Zelda demo was last year. Nintendo kind of stayed away from. I mean, they really didn't even acknowledge the system power, or that it's even like, they didn't really acknowledge that it's really a jump beyond the Wii, besides like high definition aspect of it. So, I mean, I guess that was kind of just their approach. It was surprising to not see it, but.
All right. Well, then finally, real quick, and then we'll jump into your topic. What do you think of Nintendo doing the slow burn with multiple conferences compared to just having one big bombastic son of a bitch?
I like it. I think it gives you, you know, more things to look forward to during the, you know, the E3 week.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a week finally, doesn't it?
Yeah. And you know, they started it on a Sunday. They had something going last night. They almost really had something going every day, but they had four shows, right, in total.
Yeah.
You know, and it just didn't feel like they were shoehorning a lot of, you know, non-game stuff into the main, you know, game presentations. You know, Iwata got a lot of that, you know, out of the way on Sunday. And there was a lot of really cool information that came out of the show Sunday. You know, I hadn't been following the 3DS a whole lot. There were some people in the chat room that were a little bummed that, you know, there weren't any more surprises on the show last night, but you know, I hadn't seen much of Luigi, and that game looks phenomenal. Castlevania is looking really good. So, yeah, overall, I kind of like the approach. I hope they keep doing it going forward.
All right. Well, then let's jump into your topic, Greg. So tell us a little bit of what you've been thinking.
Well, you know, going into the show, you know, last week I was thinking about, you know, what topic am I going to talk about? And you're really staring into the dark. You really didn't know what Nintendo was going to show. You know, they almost didn't even say a peep over the past year. You know, conventional wisdom coming out of last year's show was, well, they're not going straight after, you know, the casual audience again, that, you know, they're not going to have lightning strike twice, that, you know, what happened with the Wii can't really be duplicated. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people maybe had that mentality that, you know, Nintendo's going to come out firing, catering toward that core audience. I hate that term, by the way. I really hate the term core.
Yep.
but, you know, going after that audience that, you know, probably has a PS3, a 360, you know, may have passed on the Wii, you know, if they'd gotten the Wii early on and then, you know, shifted away from it. So, you know, I was kind of, you know, looking at, you know, they have a year head start on, you know, presumably a year head start on Sony and Microsoft. You know, what were they going to do during that first year to, you know, build that install base, get that third party support that, you know, has been missing for, you know, three generations now. You know, at what point are you going to stop seeing a bunch of games tagged 360, PS3, PC, and no Wii U at the end of that? So I thought that was going to be their big strategy going forward.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not, and like you, I'm kind of stumped on what's going to happen in the future. I don't know if this is really relevant to the conversation so much, but I wasn't someone who was complaining about the whole showing off the Batman game and everything and all these kind of ports, because to me, even though I have a 360, I don't really use it very much. I have not been able to play these games, or at least I haven't played these games. And so to me, that was kind of interesting, novel, and important, the third-party support, even if it is currently ports, which kind of makes sense, though. I mean, these developers, they have something that they already have ready, and they want to maybe work it into the Wii U, but I can't imagine any developers really showing off anything right now that's brand spanking new, utilizes the hardware really impressively, etc., etc. So it seems like a great thing to do to port over these things into a Wii U form and everything. So I think it's a great start. I definitely don't think that we can tell right now if that's going to continue to persist in the future. Something tells me that it does, but that's just pure Dr. Fink hunch.
Well, and that's, I really don't understand. Like, do third parties just really not like Nintendo? Like, I don't understand why going forward, because as you said, it seems like every HD game that comes out, it's just assumed it's going to be on PS3, 360, and then probably PC. Why would it not make sense to just now assume that it would also be on Wii U? But that doesn't seem to be the case yet. Like, the third-party games that kind of we heard about this week, a lot of them have been like, you know, oh, you know, we'll consider Wii U or something like that. And at first I thought, well, they're maybe just waiting for Nintendo's keynote conference because maybe they can't disclose it yet. But, you know, that came and went, and it still seems like a lot of the third parties are like, well, we don't know. Maybe we don't like them.
Yeah, it's very interesting, like the third-party sizzle reel that, you know, Nintendo showed this year. It was pretty much identical to last year's show. You know, Metro is obviously canceled, and then Mass Effect was new. You know, but by and large, we didn't see that, you know, that comforting, you know, everything's going to be all right. You know, there wasn't.
Right.
There wasn't a ton of EA support, even though they apparently just announced Madden today or yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at the show, and it was a little interesting that instead of going after that core market this year, Nintendo is taking more of a, you know, I'm watching the press conference, I'm thinking, oh my God, they're doing casual again. But, you know, after a day of letting it sink in and thinking back about the show, there's really no point in Nintendo going straight head to head with Microsoft and Sony this fall. You know, going after that core audience, I think, you know, if you're launching a system with, you know, 15 to 20 games, you know, I don't see any way that they're going to be able to convince people to buy a system this year when you have, you know, Call of Duty, Black Ops 2 coming out, Halo 4 coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Nintendo's best advantage or best strategy would be hold off a lot of these core titles, which, you know, they have, you know, in the pipeline, you know, for when Sony and Microsoft are going to be launching their next consoles with the same situation Nintendo's in now, you know, probably a 15 to 20 game launch.
Sure.
Nintendo's going to have a whole year to prepare for that. So I think from a strategy of going after that core gamer, this holiday is not the right time to do it. I think, you know, if they're going to establish some third party support, if they're going to have some new IPs, if they're going to have, you know, their hardcore game lineup, it doesn't make sense you'd necessarily see it this year. I think, you know, next year, I think that's their best approach.
Mm. Well, speaking for myself, I definitely am really excited for the launch lineup. I think it's been many consoles since I've had so many games that I would like to buy at launch. There's so many that I actually think I do want that I won't be able to actually probably buy them all. So, I mean, that works out for me, but I think also that's part of the reason that they wanted to really get a Mario out at launch this time. Not one, to get people to shut up, you know, to say, hey, look, we have your Mario, and it's probably, from just the basic initial impressions, I think it'll be the better of the two compared with the 3DS one. But again, that's just, you know, that's just impressions or whatever. But I think that they wanted to get this out because I think that they want to have a Mario Galaxy type Mario ready to blow away, you know, the skulls off mother effing people when they need to. Strategically, you know, when that next big game is coming out or the next consoles for the competitors are coming out, well, they have effing HD Mario Galaxy bitches, you know what I mean? Like, I really think that is part of the reason they want to get this new Super Mario, like the 2D itch. They want to scratch that right now, right off the get-go. Sure. Show you how nice this can look in HD. Like, it almost makes sense to have an HD Mario 1, so to speak, you know, like a side-scrolling classic. Here we go, first foray into HD. And here's this, but I think that, yeah, I mean, over the long run, they're definitely going to have so many moments to blow our minds. And I think in the next year, it'll be kind of, unfortunately, maybe heavy weighed, like kind of weirdly weighed. Like it'll be somewhat strong at launch, and then I think it'll probably be maybe a slowdown, you know. Mm-hmm. But come, I guess, I think coming into the spring and summer again, it'll start amping up again into the fall when we start hearing, I don't know. I guess it's kind of a shitty answer because it's like, well, so it's going to be great for 2 months and then it's going to suck. But but to me, it doesn't really ever suck. I mean, I'm pretty content gamer all around. I get my fill of things. I don't have enough time to play all the games that I want to play now, so.
Yeah, and that's always what I end up coming back to. Anytime someone is complaining about not enough games coming out, I mean, I always just tell them, you know, like, look at your shelf and your backlog. I mean, can you really tell me that you've played everything? And even, you know, I think I could speak for all of us. When we were kids, like, you'd buy a game and you'd play it, oh my God, more than once, you know? Like, so even that, like, sometimes I almost envy when there's a time that, like, nothing is coming out, because I'm the type, I always used to love just savoring games and, like, playing them a couple of times. And so, I don't know. I know you don't want to like beg for dry spells or anything like that, but it's just, there's nothing to really get upset about.
Yeah, you know, a lot of games have really, you know, gotten delayed out of this fall the next year, and I'm not exactly, you know, disappointed by that. You know, again, looking over the shelf, there's not a drought coming for me for, you know, quite a while. I know, you know, back when we were kids, we didn't have money. You know, it was like, you know, we'd buy, I don't know how many games a year, not nearly as many as I buy now. So, but you know, Nintendo is very adamant at this show about emphasizing, you know, launch window. So I don't think it's out of the question that, you know, September, October is going to roll around and we're going to start seeing, you know, what Nintendo has planned for, you know, spring and into summer.
Right.
You know, they're out of that habit of showing, you know, Twilight Princess, you know, 3 years before it comes out. You know, they're really starting to show stuff a lot closer to release. So I think people panicking right now, it's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I think
we're gonna
know sooner than later, you know, what games are going to be coming next spring, next summer.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, let me just reiterate, like, I am not losing any sleep over the, like, 18 first-person shooters that third parties are going to be releasing on PS360. It's just, you know, I just always want to... I'm hoping that Nintendo will prove that when that 19th and 20th new and interesting third-party game that I do want to play comes out, that the third parties won't be like, maybe on the Wii U. You know, we'll see. Probably not. So that's what I'm hoping for their year one strategy. I just hope that sort of thing is behind us.
Well, you know, and you know, Reggie kind of confirmed that in an interview. I think it was either yesterday or the day before. You know, Western third parties are always take that very cautious, very wait and see approach. You know, Reggie said, you know, we're going to have to drive that install base. It's going to be interesting if, you know, they're able to, I guess, satisfy that one, you know, tagline that third parties always use, which is, oh, there's not an audience on, you know, this console for that type of game. You know, the Wii sold, you know, 100 million units, and you still had third parties going, well, that audience isn't there. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what Nintendo has in store, you know, in the coming months to, you know, drive that install base and show that, yeah, there's an audience for a game like GTA. There's an audience for a game like, you know, BioShock.
And what's going to bum me out is probably the inevitable fact that, say, you know, Assassin's Creed 3 won't be as good sales-wise on the Wii, but that's because people will already buy it on the other consoles. So they're just going to look at that, though, without thinking about where everybody else is. Like, there are people out there who have Wiis and Xboxes and have a bunch of consoles. They might be more comfortable playing it on, you know, another system just because the Wii U is so new. And so they're going to be like, oh, well, this did kind of poorly. But you know what? If you keep bringing the games, then you build that up. It's not even a one-game thing. Like, it's so ignorant, I think, to look at, like, for an entire company to say, you know what, our one game did bad, then you know what, done. Well, no, you build up your own fan base from your own company. I mean, especially with the hardcore, quote-unquote, people really attach themselves to companies as a whole and not just games anymore, you know?
Right.
What is Rockstar doing, et cetera, you know?
I will never understand how they don't seem to understand the chicken and the egg problem that they create for themselves by saying like, oh, well, this audience isn't there. Well, it's like, well, you tested that audience by giving like a, you know, a watered down side story game that didn't sell very well. And then you're going to point to that and say, you know, so you have to just put the games there. And again, talking about the Wii's install base of those millions of people, just statistically, that audience has to be there.
I know. I mean, I can tell you sitting here today, you know, Batman Arkham City is not going to sell nearly as well on the Wii U. And that's just a no-brainer. But, you know, obviously, if you haven't played it yet, you know, it's a fantastic game. But I just hope third parties don't go, oh my God, no one bought Mass Effect. No one bought, you know, Arkham City. Well, those games aren't going to sell. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Those games are not going to put up the numbers that they did last year.
Right.
Which, so maybe we can take it as just a moderate show of good faith that they're even coming out of all, you know, I mean, maybe or, this does represent the first sort of step in that direction. Who knows?
This is super cynic of me, and I'm not usually that cynic, but, or maybe it's just them putting up the one game they already have made so that way they can say later, oh, look at that, we tried, you know, goodbye. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like is what a lot of execs might be thinking. This is our way to get out of the Wii U thing, you know. But they'll be fools to do so. I think, I don't know, I have a lot of hope and promise for the Wii U and Nintendo in general. I think that they're more than ready to handle it. Their body is ready.
Which, absolutely.
I love how Reggie referenced that. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, he embraced it this year.
Yeah, that was really awesome. It just, that freaking line right there has more just character than so many other hosts throughout E3.
I mean, Reggie did a lot of stuff, you know, during the show. You wouldn't see any executive do. I mean, he was just a goofball.
Yeah, I know, that zombie thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. It was very, very candid.
Yeah. It was very cool that I thought he referenced that after, I don't know how long that's been a popular meme.
I feel like it's just gained momentum this year. I don't know. Maybe it's just my own perception, but I feel like leading up to E3, it was like you couldn't read an article related to Nintendo without someone or multiple someones saying that their body was ready.
Yeah, it's funny because that was like, what, E3 2007 that he said it, and then, you know, it didn't start becoming this big, you know, fad until, I think, you know, last year's show.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, Greg, I think we're a bit out of time, but I hope you enjoyed your time here, and we definitely want to see you back on the show soon, okay?
Yeah, it was fun, definitely, anytime.
Great, and great topic. So again, thank you, Greg, for joining us. And after the break, we're going to have another guest, our buddy Anand. All right, and we're back yet again with yet another guest. We've got Anand from from the Negative World Forums. And Anand, let's shoot you our quick five, and then let's go to your topic.
Shoot.
All right, so Anand, question one. Do you think you'll be buying a Wii U come launch day?
As I commented before in the chat during the event, I would buy probably just a box with a logo on it, with a Nintendo logo on it, I should clarify. And so I hope they won't make me do that for $200, $250, or whatever, but I would.
What if it came with a pack-in title?
If it came with the console inside, then yeah.
Well, no, what if it just came with like Nintendo Land inside, so you got the box, the logo,
kidding.
No?
Yeah, okay. So what I was thinking about that was I'm thinking they'll either launch it at about $250 without Nintendo Land or $300 with Nintendo Land. What are you guys thinking about that? Like, what do they...
Well, see, I think it was Himpf or maybe, I don't know who said this, but that they were saying the same thing, but $300 versus $350.
No way. $350? You guys think it could ever get that high?
I think it's possible.
They'd have to be high to do that.
I mean, but you know, like, the core tech inside the console is so old, right? It has the tablet, but...
Well, yeah, like, I guess the graphical power, while it's very good, I guess in theory the chips have been around for a little while. It's not the cutting edge, you know? It's just very good stuff.
Sony Guts. It has Sony Guts inside. Yeah, basically it's just those kind of parts, they should have been able to make a lot cheaper and miniaturize and stuff. It's pretty impressive how small it is. I guess they have miniaturized all those, like,
that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, if it is supposedly, like, you know, kind of the same equivalent of a PS3 or something, it's, like, half the size or something, is it not?
Yeah, it's pretty small, even though they made the PS3 and Xbox a little smaller, too. The Xbox is like, still pretty gigantic, but it's smaller relatively. Right. So what were we talking about again? Whether I'll buy it. Yeah,
Anand, our buddy.
I will definitely buy the console just because I'm just looking for something new a little bit. I'm kind of like tired of it's been, what, 5-6 years in this generation?
Six, I think, now, right? Well, yeah. 2006, yeah. Shoot.
Yeah, I think it is six. And so, like, I'm not going to buy probably the 360 successor or the PlayStation 4 successor, right? PlayStation 3 successor. I wonder what it'll be called. Right away. I don't think, because I can wait a while for the games to come out for that and for developers to shut down and everything, you know, trying to budget to make games for those systems.
Yeah.
But, so I think I'll just get the Wii U right away, and that'll be like my little stopgap thing, and I'll just have that for a while, and then eventually I'll probably pick up one of the competitors' things, assuming the Wii U, you know, gets kind of, doesn't get the third-party support of the other ones, which I'm assuming.
So speaking of games then, what is your most anticipated game based on the E3 showing?
Based on the E3 showing, I thought Pikmin 3 looked pretty awesome. That looked really good, but I'd say probably Nintendo Land, just because, like I said before, I'm kind of jaded. And, you know, like, I need something fresh. I need, like, a new way to play games, which is why I like the DS and the 3DS and the Wii and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to Nintendo Land, because it's kind of their proof of concept of all the different things you can do with the controller. And just like Wii Sports was, I think, the most interesting game of the Wii launch for me. Nintendo Land, that's probably the most title I'm most looking forward to. But,
you know, sorry, if I could just interject with a question real quick. I may have just totally missed it, but did they confirm, does Nintendo Land work with online multiplayer, or was it just local? I know it's supposed to be like this, like, meeting place or whatever online, but...
I would hope and assume that it's online, because, I mean, they really are using it as a cornerstone for their collaborative gaming, right?
I would never assume that any Nintendo is online, but you know, that would be awesome. That's the funny thing about asymmetrical multiplayer is that it's difficult to do it in person, but online it's actually the easiest thing in the world. It's just that nobody does it. In, like, something like Pac-Man Versus, you could do it online easily. It's just nobody did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't mind if it had online. That would be a lot better, of course.
Well, I guess one of the problems with it being online. Is that it's, well, at least in Nintendo's case, the communication factor. You know, when you're all in a room, asymmetric gameplay really is great because you can just talk with everybody so instantly and everything, and whether you're teammates or you're against them, but online it's not so easy if you're Nintendo. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
right, because let's think about it. Even the that little, like, Luigi's Mansion, you know, I forget what the Nintendo Land game name was, like Luigi's Ghost Mansion or something like that. Didn't they talk about how the four Wiimote players would, like, verbally communicate, saying, like, okay, yes, my Wiimote is shaking, so the ghost is here, or something like that.
Right, that kind of thing specifically is much, yeah.
Yeah,
kind
of can't probably do that online.
Except unless you had headsets, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
But, yeah, you are right. I don't think they'll all be exactly like that, so that game in particular does require some communication among the players in front of the TV, but I don't know if they all will. But, you know, it's just, that's a bonus anyway, right? We'll have a local thing for sure, and hopefully it has some kind of online.
Yeah, I gotta start making some real-life friends.
Yeah.
I know.
They're overrated, those guys.
Are we going back to college?
Just get an Xbox.
Soon?
Yeah. College is awesome, wasn't it? Let's all go back.
Yeah. Like, I need another degree.
Nintendo U. We can go to DigiPen. And then not find a job when you graduate.
Pretty much.
So in terms of software that they showed in the conference, I would say Nintendo Land. Are you guys looking forward to that? Did you think the concepts they showed looked pretty intriguing?
It was a slow grow for me. Like, I wasn't really impressed. I was kind of like, really? Like, this is supposed to be some really epic thing. But again, it kind of like with a lot of people, as I see more of it, I realize the potential for it. And I love the hell out of Wii Sports Resort, so if it's anything like that, but with, like, Nintendo magic painted and vomited all over, then I probably would like it a lot. And the
well,
fact
actually,
is...
Yeah.
I was just gonna say the fact that there's 12 different things too. As long as the games are in depth enough, I'm probably gonna love the hell out of it.
Yeah, I mean, the presentation was pretty awful. I have to say, the pacing of it, Nintendo Land specifically, like Luigi's Mansion, whatever it is, looked really boring. But I'm sure it'll be totally fun in person, just like Pac-Man Versus was.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are sort of shitting on it, but I'm sure if it was like Solid Snake or something, he was knifing people instead of grabbing.
And ghosts, going, F-U, F-U.
You're like, man, this is awesome. Yeah. This is
best. But, well, so what? Let's look for. Did you have a favorite moment of E3 2012?
Favorite moment of E3 2012? I would say probably the beginning of Nintendo's press conference with the Pikmin stuff and just showing Pikmin itself.
That's the consensus, it seems like.
I mean, speaking of Nintendo moments, their conference went a little downhill from there, kind of. I mean, it was mostly stuff we just knew about, and it wasn't really well presented. But I do think, and this also pertains to the games, what we found out afterwards about Nintendo publishing an exclusive Platinum Games game, P100.
Yep.
So that's huge for me. That's that would be the number one Japanese developer I would want them to get. So that's pretty cool. And in terms of other developers, during Ubisoft's conference, the Rayman, whatever it's called, Legends, I guess?
Uh-huh.
The Rayman Legends demo for Wii U looked pretty fun, actually. And even the Zombie U trailer looked pretty interesting. It made really good use of the controller saving, even though I'm not sure it will be a full-fledged game.
Okay, super quick, I got to ask you, how do you feel about this whole, looking into your bag and then that kind of obscures your vision a little bit in a way?
I think that's awesome for that kind of specific game.
Well, people are, crapping on that, from what I've read online, but I know that it seems silly. Yeah, this concept that, okay, now you're just going to obstruct my view for the sake of making it feel harder, but, if you want to immerse somebody, that's what you do, You can't just see in a 360-degree view while you're, digging through your inventory and managing everything, you know what I mean? You got to look through that bag, awesome. Take your eyes off. Didn't you just say this about how you think that it's going to be more one or two? It's not going to be just hordes of zombies coming at you so you blow their brains out.
I hope so.
But yeah. I hope it is a little more, I hope it's more like more The Walking frantic. Dead.
Yeah.
The show or the comic. That would be really awesome because I've always, I love that lore and everything, but, it's really scary when you don't just see a bunch of effing, enemies running at you. When you don't know when something's going to come, and you can't anticipate it,
and you don't have, a machine gun with sniper sight or something.
Right, yeah. When it's just, I want to play for real. I mean, with all the zombies that are cropping up in America right now, I really want to be prepared, so I need my training.
For the upcoming zombie apocalypse. Yeah. The upcoming zompocalypse.
And so we're going to have... No, never mind. That was... I'm not going to say that joke. Go ahead.
But yes, survival horror is kind of it's really well suited to that. And during they used to have this kind of games where every time you'd pause, they had a couple games already where you would pause to go to the menu and it wouldn't pause the actual action, but you'd have a big menu in front of your screen. That was irritating because you don't know what's going on. You're like, God damn it, I just have to rearrange this thing. But in this case, I think it'll add some nice tension because it's not going to obscure the screen or anything. And in Zombie U, I think when you're supposed to look at the screen, there's a big message on screen saying "look at screen." I kind of wish they'd take that out or do something.
I hope that's just a demo thing.
Maybe, yeah, hopefully.
Because that would get a little silly, if you're playing through a whole game and that's there the whole time, right?
And then how do you see the stuff advancing on you when there's when it's all dimmed and there's just text on the screen?
Yeah, case scenario, maybe that's tutorial level stuff or something, but.
Well, in a Skyward Sword, you can adjust, the amount of explanation on your HUD, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it really a HUD? But you know what I mean, your overlay. So maybe that's just a level that can be adjusted or removed. I'm sure that'll be gone for test, after testing and stuff.
Hopefully. And the sniping looked fun. That had, four or five usages of the Wii U gamepad that were pretty interesting, and they all looked pretty fun to me, at least. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what was the show missing for you, if anything?
For Nintendo's presentations, as far as everybody else, Sony and Microsoft, it was just I just felt like it was wave after wave of just endless brutality and gore and, everything was realistic and it was just kind of wearying. It was like playing Call of Duty for the whole conference or something, It was like a Bruckheimer movie.
So you're saying that Nintendo was missing the blood or?
No, yeah. No, so I was saying that's what Microsoft and Sony were missing.
I see. Okay. Well, what about Nintendo? Was that miss?
So as for what Nintendo was missing, I think obviously we can pick out a bunch of stuff that they did wrong in their comments. I think their presentations were horrible. You know, like the 3DS presentation, which we were waiting for, they didn't show anything. Like the that said, I think what they have to show for this holiday is good. The games that they have are good. I just think they presented them in a really bad way.
So it was missing kind of finesse in presentation.
Yeah, that and also stuff like P100, the Platinum Games game, and also Game & Wario, which is an Intelligent Systems Wii U game. Those things they didn't announce during their conference, and those would have really made the conference a lot better because something new that we didn't know about before, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is that during the 3DS conference, they announced today that they're localizing Fire Emblem. Why wouldn't you announce that during the 3DS conference?
Yeah. Well, apparently that came out like a slip of the tongue or something like that. Like, I guess Reggie wasn't even supposed to say that, right?
I guess,
so
yeah.
Reggie is fallible.
But is he? That's the question. Maybe it was on purpose.
True, yeah.
It depends what your assumptions are.
Yeah.
And Reggie as deity.
So we got one more question for you, and then we should get to your topic.
Yeah, so did you enjoy the fact that Nintendo decided to split up their events throughout the week? How did you feel about that presentation?
In theory, I thought it was fine. In practice, like I just said, I think they paced everything a little badly. I think one of the problems that is about these conferences is that gamers assume that the conferences are all for them. you don't talk about that stuff at E3. You know, E3 is a gamers conference. It's not really a gamers conference, right? It's like a mainstream media / retailer conference that we watch. So that's fine for the main conference, but like I said, I like breaking up 3DS and Wii U because they're their own systems with their own individual slates. I just thought they could have stuffed a few more games in there in general. But I like the idea of splitting it up. In the developers conference, we were all hoping for some secret reveal or secret trailer like Smash Brothers or something. That didn't happen, but I don't mind the concept of splitting up the conferences.
All right, great. So you've brought an awesome topic with you today, and you wanted to talk about Nintendo's biggest E3 moments across the years.
Yeah, just the moments that kind of stick out for you. First of all, I just want to ask you guys, do you think winning E3, quote, winning E3, unquote, really matters?
I forgot that people say that.
Yeah, I don't think it makes any difference at all, sales or anything.
I don't think. Certainly this year, I don't think it matters because this year, I don't think it was about winning. I think it was about.
It was just about losing. Everybody lost E3.
Yeah. I find it so funny that the consensus seems to be that Ubisoft won E3, which is amazing. Especially considering that most people didn't really like the Aisha Tyler stand up deal.
She was wearing leather pants.
That's true. But, I mean, they had all the, they're not a manufacturer of hardware, so they have nothing but games to show. So I'm sure that right there started people off right, and then they did have quite a variety of games.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Oh,
so I'll agree with Steven there. That was what was impressive to me is the variety from colorful to gritty, and also they showed a few new things that I think they probably had the best conference just because everybody else just, shit the bed, kind of.
Yeah. It was they won by default.
Kind of
thing.
Yeah, kind of. The English language.
And with Nintendo as a focus, it's pretty cool that they are focused on bringing Nintendo some games,
And wasn't that odd that they got to show the Wii U before Nintendo did? If Nintendo had that exclusive Rayman Legends stuff, how much better would it have made the conference?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but you know what? I think it's good that they gave Ubisoft the spotlight in that way because it only promotes better relationships with them, They're going to want to continue to work with them because, hey, look, they made us look like a really awesome company. They got us to do the reveal and everything, and to me that would make a company very happy.
Yeah, it was definitely a good idea. But where were all the other guys from? Where was EA from last year? Like a no-show, right? They didn't even announce Madden or something.
I don't know. I'm surprised a little bit by the lack of second-party stuff from Nintendo.
Really?
Wanted to hear about Retro and, all these... Well, I mean, I guess it's just not time. It's not launch window.
Here's the thing,
right?
Is that if we assume that Nintendo is keeping to this new marketing strategy of only announcing things that are coming out really soon, then this E3 was actually great in terms of the actual information announced, because this holiday looks awesome. Yeah, I'm just worried that there'll be like a drought or something, regardless of what they say. But, you know, they have second parties, and I'm sure they're working on something. And as long as we'll get games at a steady stream, I don't care if they announce a Nintendo Direct or whatever.
Well, if you look over that thread on Negative World about like what each internal group for Nintendo, you know, supposedly has cooking. I mean, there's like plenty of blank resources, right? Like they got to be doing something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, definitely. You gotta have NST porting over some like Game Boy game or something.
Hey, man.
And then Retro will be making their Star Fox / Metroid crossover. I was actually thinking that would show up. I think reading about that beforehand kind of messed around with my expectations.
I would not have signed up for that.
Really?
No thanks. No.
It's like chocolate and peanut butter, man.
No. It's like chocolate and pickles.
It's like chocolate and shitting the bed.
Anyway.
So
still has chocolate.
We had a topic, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the topic is the best Nintendo's best moments of E3, and I just wanted to talk about a couple of the things that stand out to us. I think the first thing that comes to mind is Zelda, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was a major thing.
It was pretty big. So the background is that they showed this kind of like generic, but kind of like, you know, sort of mature looking Link versus Ganondorf fight the previous year on GameCube.
Oh, yeah.
Just a clip.
Came in the bed right there.
Yeah, which people just loved.
Yeah.
And it was decent, you know. And then the next year they came back and they're like, you know, you're waiting for Zelda, here it is. And they showed this like Tex Avery kind of cartoon thing. And everyone's just like, what the fuck is this?
It's just so funny that you have to laugh at it, you know.
I know, it was funny. And you know what? Like, I love that trailer. I have to say, like, everybody hated it, that first trailer. Even people who like Wind Waker are like, oh, the first trailer was shitty, though. I actually thought it was great.
No, I did too.
I thought it'd be like playing a cartoon. I was actually wondering, like, how are they going to adjust the Zelda mechanics to be like a cartoon? Like, is he going to have traps that he can trigger? Can he run on walls like Prince of Persia or something? Is it going to be like slapstick and shit like that? And then we got the game.
Gameplay.
Yeah, exactly. Anvils, totally Anvils. And then we got the game, and it was like, oh, this is Ocarina, except it's kind of like cartoon-like. And the puzzles are from Ocarina, and the combat feels kind of like Ocarina.
I have to say, I kind of enjoy the fact that it's only been, like, basically since the Wii, where I've really started paying attention to E3, like tuning in and following it live and reading blogs and stuff like that. So I kind of have the perspective of I was very distanced from the whole Zelda, like, I don't know.
Controversy, backlash, whatever.
Yeah, 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 whatever you want to call it. So, I remember it happening, and I remember there being a buzz about it, but, I mean, was it really just universally just panned back then?
Yes,
or was it split?
It was.
Or, yeah.
I mean, if you can find message boards in the archive in the Wayback Machine from back then, they're pretty hilarious.
Because I do remember when, because that was the first actual, I think, GameCube game I ever saw running was Wind Waker. Because a friend of mine brought it over basically just to show me, you know, what the current Zelda, look was. And, I mean, it was, certainly I thought it was great looking, but very different. I mean, extremely right. different. So I could imagine it being very jarring, you know, if you're tuning in expecting just like another, Ocarina of Time style, and then you see this.
And then they made Twilight Princess, never explained again. It's just like Ocarina. But I'm glad that Nintendo made Skyward and made the sort of cel-shaded handheld games, and they didn't get too distracted by the feedback to that, the initial feedback to that, which is horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, really, I mean, in my opinion, I feel like Nintendo, they need to listen to their fans, of course, but I think they have a better head on their shoulders than we give them credit for. And in the long run, the masses are usually pretty happy with what they do.
Right.
You know, yeah, we freak out a lot, but we calm down eventually. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's great that they have shown, I guess you could call it a range, because they, you know, they did the cartoony thing, and then the, you know, Twilight Princess was a little bit darker, like not in the gritty sense, but just in the aesthetic of it, it was like literally, you know, more dark, and then... And then Skyward Sword, you've got sort of a hybrid, you know, sort of taking a little bit from each column. So it is nice that, they're nimble like that.
Yeah, it's nice. I bet people wish that they'd be a little more nimble with Mario.
Yeah, I certainly, you know, four games into the new Super Mario aesthetic, I'm not tired of it yet.
Yeah, it's certainly pleasant. I have no problem with it. As long as the games play fine, it's,
and I think, you know, there's been enough time, I think, between the last one for me to be fine with this. And I know that the 3DS one's going to be out beforehand, but I don't know. I'm always the kind of Nintendo gamer that when I get something great, I want more. I don't want, you know, I don't shy away from another serving. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think what people might sort of be overlooking, it's funny how much Nintendo has moved away from the, like, look at these games in 3D aspect of the 3DS, but I love, like, my best 3D experiences so far have been 2D side-scrolling games with the parallax effect.
Oh, totally, totally. That's, like, the best kind of look.
Yeah.
Have you played Mighty Switch Force? It looks so beautiful.
No, but I played the Mutant Muds, which is, I think, a very similar, with the moving in and out of the background.
Right, right, right. So you should check out Mighty Switch Force, because it's like that, except beautiful.
Yeah,
it's like really
I keep
nice looking
about it.
And that's what I was most looking forward to. That's what I'm most looking forward to on the 3DS is just 2D titles with cool parallax. Like, that's why I was so disappointed kind of by the Castlevania announcement.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I was like, god damn, like an Egovania with like different gears moving at different speeds at different depths.
Yep,
that would have just hit the spot, you know?
And see, I'm someone who's never played Castlevania ever.
Oh my god.
Pick your jaws up off the floor now. And but it's kind of like Pikmin, it's kind of like Kirby, it's where these games that I know they're beloved, they're great franchises, great gameplay, and I just need an excuse to get into it. And I'm definitely going to be getting into Pikmin with Pikmin 3 and the Castlevania game, just from hearing you guys talk about it pretty much. I haven't even seen much about it. Like, I feel like maybe I should be interested in this one. Maybe this can be my start, you know?
This new one, we were actually kind of crapping on it right now. I mean, it's not really similar to past Castlevania titles. It's more like the last 3D title converted into the same show.
My opinion right now is that it's like, it may very well be the worst Castlevania game I play, but but it's sort of like, you know, the worst Castlevania game is still pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, I will still completely get it. Like when they talked about it in the 3DS conference, I was kind of like a little pessimistic, but I'm totally gonna get it.
So you can
swing on your whip. And that's why I'm here.
So I shouldn't be fooled by the parallax talk, and maybe I should play a different Castlevania, you're saying?
Maybe. So the other thing is that, did you guys see the new trailers they put on 3DS eShop?
Yeah, I've got them. I've only seen one, though.
So yeah. Paper Mario looks like, the 3D in that looks amazing, and so does the 3D in Luigi's Mansion. They look really good.
Yeah, because again, the whole thing is based on it looking like a diorama, right? And if you look at a 3DS with the 3D on,
totally,
it's
yeah,
like looking into a diorama.
Wow,
so.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now, the Paper Mario one, because I have it like right here.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks really good.
And not only that, but that game, that trailer in general, it looks so fun. Like, they're doing so much with the paper concept, so much more than they ever did before. It looks pretty awesome.
This is like probably going to be the game that shows the actual potential the series has had, like,
yes,
what they've
totally
really been going for, you know?
And even the enemies are made of paper, and there's stickers and shit, and it looks really good. Luigi's Mansion looks like kind of an epic little adventure. Like,
you know,
multiple mansions.
Right? Love,
it's suited for handheld.
I love the first. It's just that it was so short. That was my only real complaint. And so I'm looking forward to Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, because it looks like it'll actually be a lengthy experience, a meaty experience. You know?
Yeah, it's the system it was meant to be on, like a shoebox diorama, but like a series of tons of shoebox dioramas. Yeah, it looks really good. Just to get back to the topic for just a sec.
As we're out of time like 5 minutes ago. Go ahead.
We're out of time. So a couple of more moments from the Nintendo's E3 moments were the next Zelda title, the Twilight Princess trailer. Did you guys remember that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up, if anything.
Yeah, so that was like,
I was going to say, they used the same song from the Ocarina of Time trailer, didn't they?
Something. Or
it was
something.
That epic, like, freaking kind of
was it,
moody chorus, you know?
Was it like the Conan music that
used
for every trailer?
Oh yeah, it was that. That song gives me the chills, because I still remember like these Zelda moments, both the Ocarina of Time commercial and the E3 showing of Twilight Princess. Just amazing.
I do remember really liking the music during that. Yeah, during the Twilight Princess trailer, and just people. It was kind of realistic and whatever. And like, remember that everyone was just like, it was thunderous applause. There were actually people crying in the audience.
Seriously.
Yeah, you don't know about this?
Awesome.
No, there were.
So funny, dude. Like, go to YouTube. I think it's on YouTube. There's, like, video. These are, like, grown men journalists. Maybe they're not grown men. their journalists just like in tears, bawling because they're like so affected by it. And that's really, that's the kind of moment that this year's E3 did not have.
No, not at all.
You know, at all. And another kind of moment
people
that was
were like, crying for the opposite reason.
For a different reason. They were crying because of the sensory assault from all the gunfire and Usher. But, but like, the other thing that was like that was the Smash Brothers trailer. Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. Which one are you talking about? Brawl or Melee or what?
Smash Brothers Brawl, when they just surprise announced it during the developers conference, which is why we were kind of hyped for this developers conference. They just popped it in there. It was like a great trailer, and that was another kind of moment that was just like Nintendo fan nirvana. You know?
Completely agree, but I'm kind of immersed in the YouTube clip of the Zelda E3 2004 reaction.
The crying thing?
Yeah.
Did you show the crying?
Well, I haven't found the crying yet. That I'll do that after the show's over, but just like you can hear screaming fans from like the first or the second shot, you know, with that like long shot of the sunset and everything and everyone coming up, people kind of suspect this might be what we think it is. Now imagine something like that with here's the thing, and here's how we got to end this topic pretty much, unfortunately, but we are going to get that again. I mean, people out there, listen, we're going to get another Epic Zelda. It's going to look effing great because they're going to take advantage of the new hardware like mad, you know, like only Nintendo knows how to do. And we're probably going to get some sort of awesome music. Just the whole package is going to be... I can't wait to just, you know, have my jaw drop.
Not just Zelda. We're going to get 3D Mario. We're going to get a Metroid. We're going to get a Zelda. Like even the other M trailer was another huge moment, even though people didn't mention like the game. But yeah, you're totally right. And then I think that's the moral to take home from this E3, is that Nintendo's just not showing stuff in the future. Like, maybe we'd want them to show just a couple clips or something, but that's not their strategy right now. Right. And their holiday looks great, and... next year could be great too. We just don't know.
Well, you know, and I've been complaining because Animal Crossing didn't get mentioned or had no release date and whatnot.
It must be 2013, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, but I'm thinking it'll probably be like early 2013, so I'm not really too bummed about it. But
it's weird though. They had trailers.
Yeah, they released a trailer some months ago, and they had one at last E3. So I don't know, or maybe they just didn't feel like talking about it. Right? Maybe it will come out.
Maybe that means they're actually changing it, so it's taking some time, which is good.
Right, but I think that. You know, like you're saying, though, it is good that maybe we're only being shown what's in the near future, because now, you know, I'm predetermined, or what's the word? I'm just predisposed to think that because I didn't see it now, it's not for a
it
long
time.
It
doesn't exist, right.
But it very well could. In fact, it could show up tomorrow, which it won't, but it'll be like the Sega Saturn thing. Didn't they, I thought I read this when I was, like, kind of investigating old E3s. In 1995... didn't they, like, announce that the console would come out the next day?
Yeah, it was like an Apple thing, except nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe they'll pull that with Animal Crossing and, you know, I don't know.
Maybe they'll announce it during a Nintendo Direct or something. I mean, that really is the moral. Like, you can look at the conference and say you can grade the conference or whatever, but at the end of the day, Fire Emblem is coming. They didn't mention that. P100 is coming, and so is Game & Wario. They didn't mention those. Like, Nintendo has enough games for this holiday for sure. And next year, like, either we believe they will or we believe they won't. But for now, they're in good shape, I think.
They're kind of, like, pretty much running on all cylinders. It's just that we can't hear them yet.
Yeah, and not only that, but, like, you know, when did they stop internal Wii development? Like, a long-ass time ago. And even 3DS development, most of it is done by second parties and stuff. So, you know, their teams are working on stuff. And so maybe they will avoid the drought for once. But the real puzzle is third parties, right? Hopefully they step it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that unfortunately means you're out of time, Anand.
Okay.
But,
better luck next time. We have some local party.
Yeah. But no, as usual, you're always a riot to talk to, and we never really stay on topic, but you know what? It's always awesome. And,
yeah, it was fun.
But yeah, so thanks again for joining us, and I guess we should move on to our third and final guest of the evening. All right, and we're back, and we've got our last guest for the evening. We've got Pogue Squadron.
Hello.
Also known as Jamie in real life. And so we're going to ask him the same five questions we've been asking everybody, and then we're going to get to his topic, which is all about the Wii U gamepad. So let's just jump right into it, as usual. Jamie, will you be buying a Wii U at launch?
Most likely, yes.
Okay.
Pending some astronomical price point that I can't afford at the moment.
Do you have like a cutoff, like what your high ceiling is for?
I can't see them going above. I think their ceiling is like $350 with a game.
Right. Yeah.
I think it'll probably be like $299 without a game. If I had to guess. Concur. I think going above that's kind of dangerous for them.
With just a gamepad and no Wiimote, right?
I mean, in a perfect world, I would want a Wiimote nunchuck, but you know they want to sell them, and maybe they're also banking on the fact that there are already so many of those floating around that people can find them if they already have them. So,
you know, do we know, can you use, like, will new games even use a Wiimote that is not Plus? Have they said anything either way?
I thought about that today, but I didn't hear anything.
I thought I read this somewhere, but I supposedly Reggie apparently said something about, like, there was a game on the show floor, and he said, yeah, you can play this, you know, with your Wii Motion Plus or your Wiimote. So, he'd, like, imply that you can go even back to the old, you know, archaic Wiimote only, which is kind of a bummer. This is their one opportunity to require Wii Motion Plus.
It's confusing because they have that that Zelda game in Nintendo Land that's essentially Wii Sports Resort sword fighting.
See, but and then on the other hand, I get why they don't want to make it Wii Motion Plus only, because then you have this whole fan base who would have to upgrade, and that might piss off your customers, you know.
Yeah. Anyway,
yes. Yeah, so I'm probably gonna get it at launch. For me, the just the idea of being able to untether the game from the TV and the communication features, I find compelling enough to pick it up at launch. And Pikmin looks really good, and I'm really interested in checking out Rayman also.
Cool. Well, that leads us to, did you have a most anticipated game coming out of
E3? I'd probably go with Pikmin. I've never played Pikmin or Pikmin 2, so.
Me neither.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, there you go. Whoa, yay. Wow.
We're
cool.
Pikminless.
I thought you guys were just going to.
Well, I played for an hour, so that doesn't really count. That's like getting to third base and saying you had sex, you know, it just doesn't really count.
Whoa.
With the announcement of that both new play controls will be localized, I think that this will really make the perfect storm for me getting into the whole series, which is probably no accident by Nintendo's perspective. But.
So, what was your favorite moment, Jamie, of E3 2012?
Pikmin? From Nintendo or E3 overall?
Well, I guess both. I mean, just from... Yeah, let's go with both. So you say the Pikmin reveal?
Yeah.
I mean, that had been building up for quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it was also like, oh man, if they started with Pikmin, who knows where this conference is going to go?
Yeah, it's true. They really, the way that they paced themselves was not ideal, probably.
We both like, or we all had like a small sigh inside just now.
Yeah.
But
so it instilled a hope that would never be satisfied.
Well, now, broaden it to... not just Nintendo, because I'm curious on what your answer would be, knowing what I know about you.
I'm excited for Halo 4.
Okay.
Because I think they're doing some cool new things with that. And it's funny to see a lot of people...
I hear they're shooting in this one.
Yeah, they're shooting. A lot of people were saying it looks a lot like Metroid Prime, because of like the enemy designs kind of look like the Space Pirates. And I don't know. It looks like they're doing some cool new things with that. And... South Park game. Very excited about the South Park game.
That one got a lot of buzz. I mean, I bet even the creators of the game were like pleasantly surprised.
Well, me and a couple of my buddies were looking forward to that because we're big South Park fans. And just the fact that it's basically going to be an RPG that looks exactly like the show, it'll be really cool, I think.
Gotcha.
So those two games I was really excited about.
Was there anything in particular that was missing from the conference, especially from Nintendo's perspective?
I think Nintendo really should have had some sort of sizzle reel that gave us an idea of what to expect moving forward outside the launch window. I think they were always kind of notorious for that. Like when the GameCube came out, I was looking at it today. I was doing some research on E3 2001, right before the GameCube came out, and they had this whole sizzle reel, and it was, you know, Smash Brothers, Luigi's Man, it was all the launch window games, but they had like a little snippet of Metroid Prime. They had that. It was that like CG trailer for Metroid Prime, I think, and they had like that Zelda trailer that never came out. But it was just cool. It's like they gave an idea of this is what you're investing in for the next couple of years, not right. just.
But did that backfire on them back then?
I don't think so.
I mean, maybe from an investor's point of view, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of why they would choose not to do that this year. Like what the logic is behind that.
Well, Nintendo always, you know, they'll have a trailer for a game that doesn't come out for another 3 years, but I think that usually comes from them constantly delaying the game rather than them being like, why don't we just show them what we're going to release in 4 years or something like that.
I guess they're just being overly cautious not to make promises they can't keep or something, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I just, with this, I mean, this is a console launch. I think it's a little bit different than, you know, kind of like the tail end of the Wii, where they're, you know, it's been so long since we've seen really what they've been working on. I mean, the last couple of years, like, we've had some good games, like, you know, we've had Donkey Kong and some Kirby games and stuff, so it's like, we want to see what's in their kitchen, you know? Like, what have they been cooking for the past 3 years? We want to see what Retro's been working on. And even if it was just like a 3 second thing that was like, we're reassuring you that we have these core games coming for you. And that's all I wanted to see is some sort of a sizzle reel. You know, I don't expect them to have all these games play.
I would have loved like even just like a silhouette slideshow done to some sort of music, you know, just showing like the silhouettes of characters of games that are in production that we not even seeing content from them, you know, just confirming that, oh, Star Fox is coming, Metroid's coming, Link, you know, maybe ending it on Link or maybe showing like the Brawl logo or the Smash Brothers logo, even though we know that's going to be coming too.
Yeah, and they have Nintendo Land, and Nintendo Land is such a tease now because, you know, they have an F-Zero minigame in Nintendo Land.
Right.
So they have these teases for all these franchises, so it's like, are you going to do something with all of these franchises? I mean, I would think that would be the point of, you know, basically.
Right. Because why give people a F-Zero sampler if you're not going to eventually give them a full meal, right?
That's what I kind of thought Nintendo Land was supposed to be about, was maybe a way to give everyone, including the quote-unquote casual market, a sampler of Nintendo. Like, here's all the things that you just don't think that you're ready to play. But look, you're ready to play Zelda. You're ready to slash and dash, you know? So yeah, we could... that could have been our sizzle reel, just disguised as something lackluster for what we were hoping for.
Sizzle reel the game.
Sizzle
Land.
Yeah,
I mean, Nintendo Land is essentially, it's like advertising for them.
Yeah.
That's why, to me, it wouldn't surprise me if it just came packed in, because it's basically advertising for people that don't know what these things are.
But then I also think, on the other hand, that because they're more in-depth than like we play, that they're going to consider just making some money off it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is why I'm fine with if they make it a pack-in and then end up just upping the price a little bit. Like, I don't care if you just totally fool me that way. That'd be fine.
I could see it possibly being like Wii Play, where they just pack a controller in with it and then put it on the shelf. Because people are going to want another controller. And
well, some people will.
Well,
some people are all about the second tablet.
The only thing I would think is, I don't know if they want that on the shelf competing with Mario.
Right. That's true, yeah. Alright, so we have one final question. What did you think of Nintendo splitting its conferences across several days and events?
I think it was generally a pretty bad idea. Because the thing with their main conference was that, okay, they did the first conference, the pre-E3 conference, to be like, okay, we want to get some things out of the way before we get to tomorrow, so that tomorrow can be all about the games. And then in their main conference, they basically said like a third of what they already talked about the night before, and then they were like, okay, well, today is going to be all about Wii U, except for this 5 to 10 minutes where we're going to talk about 3DS. And it's like, well, yeah, if you're just going to talk about your two biggest 3DS games, then why are you having this separate conference? So I think there was too much redundancy in it. I would have rather just had an hour of jam-packed information. I think there was, it might have caused too much downtime in the actual, you know, them highlighting certain things that didn't need to be highlighted when they could have just been like, okay, bam, here's this game, bam, here's this game, rather than we're going to spend 5 minutes doing this Luigi's Mansion game, and it's like, we don't need to know the nuances of, well, if you run out of batteries, then the ghost can... It's like, no, just be like, okay, here's, you know, Greg Leahy over at, he made a brief appearance on Nintendo World Report podcast. He was saying, you know, bam, here's Luigi game, bam, here's the F-Zero game. And that mm-hmm. just make more of an impact. It's like, well, we get the idea. So I think they should have spent more dense in one rather than spread out over four different conferences.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then let's move on to your main topic, because I really am excited to talk about this with you guys. The Wii U gamepad, clearly it's the main, you know, difference than the previous Wii, besides the HD graphics, but it's they kept saying it was a revolution, which I thought was maybe a planned word towards, you know, the code name for the old Wii. Mm. But I really do believe that it's a revolution on some level anyway, because Nintendo yet again is taking a step in another direction than its competitors, and I give them a lot of credit for that, and I probably always will as long as I continue to do it. But, you know, it's not unanimously awesome to people. Some people hate the idea, some people love it. So, you know, what do you think, and what do you want to talk to us about?
Well, I basically wanted to talk about whether or not we thought that Nintendo did a good job of selling us the idea, of making the case for this controller that has a touchscreen in it. For me, personally... I still think that the most compelling part of the gamepad is the fact that, you know, I can untether the game from the TV and, you know, say I want to watch a baseball game or something, and I can be still playing my game while some other things are going on. Or, you know, if I'm going to bed soon and I don't feel like turning the TV on, but I want to play virtual console games, like that kind of stuff, I think is still really cool. And I like the idea of, you know, if we're all on each other's friend lists and we're sending each other messages, I can get those messages without having to load up the TV, and just, it's all right there.
They made a great point to really show that too, didn't they? Like, you know, it's going to be able to turn your TV on by itself, you know, to turn the console on for that. You can check certain things without having to actually boot up the main console. You know, look, I don't know, that whole detachment thing and their whole mentality of relying on the TV no more was a big part of their whole mantra. And, I mean, so far, they really look like they're doing it. And it's really exciting, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of, and from interviews, I believe, of Miyamoto from a while ago, he had always kind of wished that he could do that. So it's kind of nice that maybe he's realizing something that he's wanted to do for a long time.
I think the impact of it is a bit lessened by the fact that they're letting you get like an app on your phone that can do a lot of the same functions, like access your like message feed and that kind of stuff. But I think the general idea of just always being able to be in touch with, you know, your messages and that kind of stuff is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing was that I like the fact that just simply because it's a touch screen, it's going to be way easier to type things in to my friends and, or draw things to them. Sending any message to anyone on the Xbox 360 or even the Wii is like, it's a huge pain in the ass. I mean, with the Xbox, you can send people voice messages, which is cool, but just the act of typing in general on those other devices, like for Netflix or anything like that, it's annoying.
Yeah.
And just having something to easily type something up real quick, I think, is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can expand on that, too, with the video chat feature now. So instead of typing something to someone, you can even just talk with them.
I'll be curious to see how high the quality that camera is.
Yeah, I guess for the demo video, it was kind of too good, maybe, for what we might expect.
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting it to be maybe a little bit higher quality than what we have on the 3DS.
I've never even tried that.
Yeah, me neither. I think the 3DS it can't take video, can it?
What do you mean, record video?
Yeah, can it?
Yeah. It was a firmware update later on, but yeah, it can.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know, maybe it'll be way better because they know they're going to be displaying it in HD.
If it is a higher quality video, wouldn't that make it more likely to have bandwidth issues?
That's another thing, yeah.
So I would probably rather prefer it be, you know, as crappy as you want, as long as it's not going to lag or cause, you know.
Well, couldn't they do what Netflix does now? Like, on my phone, whenever I watch Netflix, it'll adjust depending on the kind of connection I have. So I'll have a better video if it can handle it, and it automatically downgrades itself if it doesn't.
Well, you're just talking about the camera, right?
Oh, well, okay, I see what you're saying. So you're just talking about general resolution, not, like, the feed coming in?
Oh, no, I'm saying if I had to choose between, like, a great camera resolution and something that would potentially be laggy, I would rather have it just be like a very practical, functional, like, this is the person I'm talking to, as opposed to, you know, and now I can tell if they, like, shaved this morning or something, you know?
Yeah, it's not exactly, you're not going to exactly be making prints out of photos that you take on this thing.
As long as it's not just our Miis with, like, a moving mouth, you know? Which, I mean, believe it or not, I'm sure Nintendo, you know, considered.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that like the Wii Speak?
Is that how it worked?
Yeah.
Oh, like shit.
And now, regarding the games, I'm actually not a huge fan of a lot of the implementations they've been using for the touchscreen in the actual games. Like, they highlighted the controller in Batman. And to me, it seemed kind of clunky and kind of just not very intuitive because the way, you know, they have you switching weapons and stuff.
It doesn't seem like fast enough for what you might want to do. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool to have a map on there. Like, that's where I get excited. It's just having a map and being able to easily place waypoints on a map just by touching the map. Or maybe in a Zelda game, you could write notes to yourself or type in notes to yourself. Be like, remember this spot so that you can come back later with this
maybe
item.
Maybe you could, like, write on the wall, you know, like a dungeon wall with some sort of, you know, Hyrulean chalk.
Or, I mean, like, just have, like, you have your map on your screen and then you could make, like, a little post-it note or something. And then when you want to remember what it is, you just tap on it. And it's like, oh, there is a crack in this wall. Maybe I should go back there.
Well, do you think that,
get some bombs.
Do you think Pikmin made a good argument for using the touchscreen, though? Because they had a map, but they also, you know, with the ability to control multiple kind of mini infantries of your Pikmin with different characters, it seemed really easy and intuitive to just use the touchscreen to manipulate who you want to focus on, how you want to do it. Like, you could tap on, you know, one character and, you know, maybe even set a direction for your Pikmin on there. Then you can use the Wii Motion Plus pointer and everything to, you know, do commands on there. Then you can zip over to someone else really quick. I feel like that's going to come into gameplay a lot in that game.
Can you switch your characters just using the nunchuck and the pointer?
I don't know if they've confirmed that or anything. I'm sure you can.
Because I was hearing some kind of shaky things about Pikmin's gamepad usage. People were saying it was kind of clunky because I think it used the IR pointer or some sort of gyro to control the cursor.
Yeah, I was hearing similar things to that.
Yeah, I have to imagine they totally would change that.
I was never totally sure on, I guess, how it did the pointing.
Was it kind of like, was it like how Skyward Sword does it? Because Skyward Sword technically, in some instances, you know, it's motion. It's just Weeple right. Motion Plus, but you can tell it's not direct pointer because it's not shaky. It's just kind of
right.
delayed but very accurate movements. I mean, maybe that's what it is, and people are kind of just not used to it.
I think it wasn't as much the accuracy of it as much as it was having to use the gyro on, like, a controller that you're holding with two hands and it being kind of cumbersome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the trailers show the Wii Remote and nunchucks, so I'm wondering if that's kind of the intended way to play the game and then just keep the map handy nearby.
Yeah, like on your lap or something.
Right. I gotta say, with the people who are sort of disappointed at the fact that it controls so much better, supposedly, with the Wiimote and Nunchuck, I mean, to me, that's like an excellent problem to have.
It's reassuring to me that you have the option to do both, because on the Wii, they never did that kind of stuff. It was, okay, you need the pointer, or you're out of luck. But at least here, it looks like they might be offering a couple different options for people to play, because I think a big part of it is they want you to be able to play it off of the TV, so they have to offer some standard controls in some capacity.
Right. And, you know, I never, as much as I am excited for the gamepad, I feel like the Wiimote never really got a chance to fully show what it was capable of. So I'm glad that there's another generation where they can at least, you know, have people experiment with it or at least let it be an option. Because I think that it is a very powerful input device. And so, I mean, I think that what potentially can be so great about the Wii U, having the gamepad is not necessarily just how awesome the gamepad is, but how awesome the gamepad is as part of this, like, you know, three-headed control, you know, this range of options.
Yeah, and the one last thing I wanted to say is that I think where the controller is really going to shine, and we've seen a lot of it already, is in all this asymmetrical multiplayer that they're doing, where, you know, 3 to 4 people are doing something on the TV and then the person on the gamepad is doing something completely different. I think that has a lot of potential. I think it has the potential to get written off as a gimmick if it's not done well, but, you know, I could see that working with a lot of different games, and I think we're going to see the controller shine there a lot more than we are going to see it shine in, like, the single player games, where we're going to, because in the single player games, I think we'll be like, why am I doing this? Couldn't it be easier if I did this? Or why don't I just use the pointer? Or why don't I just use, you know, so something like that. But with the multiplayer, it's like, I think the gameplay is going to be tailored for the device in a specific way, like in Rayman, you're touching the screen. It's basically a completely different way of playing the game rather than playing the same game in a different way, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I think obviously any, you know, the quality of any input method is going to be up to how well the developers you know, approach it. But, like, I know my wife is looking forward to hopefully never ever having to pause and go to an inventory screen ever again. So, like, for her, that's like an automatic upgrade, no matter what the game is.
Hmm.
Just that, you know, you could potentially have it all laid out there. And then I think possibly we should all be very grateful that Zombie U, regardless of how hyped you might be about that specific game, I think might be providing a pretty good blueprint for how to use the controller in a meaningful way that's not just a gimmick, but at the same time, you know, differentiates that product from what's possible on other platforms.
Yeah, I think what they have to be careful of is, you know, if you have to go to the screen on the gamepad to do something, they have to make the case as to why you have to do that rather than just putting an overlay like a regular map. Because if you look at Skyward Sword, you can manage your inventory pretty easily already. So they have to make the case as to why going to your gamepad screen is a lot better. I don't know. Or just give you the option to do both, like they seem to be doing with Pikmin.
Yeah, and also for me, from the very first time that they showed the gamepad, I was just thinking, you know, like the DS is one of my favorite platforms of all time. So anything that brings that sort of experience to as many games as possible, I am looking forward to.
Yeah, what I'm hoping will happen, it'll kind of be like the DS, where now developers have all these options at their disposal, and
right,
you know, it's going to work in some games and it's not going to work in some games. But I think people are going into it with the wrong mindset, where they expect that every game has to use the gamepad in a certain
way. Exactly, and because if they going into that, that's just asking for poor shoehorned mechanics, and that's when it truly becomes, you know, gimmicky, and
right,
gimmicky
like,
in a bad way.
Like if I say I want to play Assassin's Creed on the Wii U, someone is inevitably going to say, "Well, how does it use the controller?" And
right.
It's like, why does it have to? I mean, you don't look at the Xbox version and say, "Well, how is this better than the PS3 version?" It's like,
exactly.
No, it's the same game.
Exactly.
It's just not a game that was designed for this, but there are plenty of games that are, and what the Wii U could do is just allow that option.
And unfortunately, so many people are going to look at any given game and be like, "Well, why would I get the Wii U version if it's not going to be all, you know, tablet centric?" But that's the wrong way to look at it.
You really can't win.
Well, yeah. people will vote with their dollars. I mean, if I get Assassin's Creed 3, I'm probably not going to get it on the Wii U, but...
Do you have the other ones on another system,
well,
or...?
Partially because that's a game that's not... You know, I haven't played the first two, so... And I have a really nice PC, so I'd probably play it on the PC.
Ooh!
You know how I do.
Well, I think I know how we do, and we kind of got to get out of here. We're kind of out of time, buddy.
That was a segue.
That was a segue. As much as, you know, I've been having so much fun talking with you guys all evening, but tell us about what you think about the podcast at negativeworld.org. Comment on the show thread and tell us what you thought about all of our comments and everything, and how you like the format of the show, or just tell us about E3 in general, as if there isn't enough E3 threads on Negative World already, you know?
Yep.
And go to the chat room, too. We have a cool chat room.
No
one goes in it.
It's been bumping lately, though. I mean, there's been reason, but... Well, I believe Mr. Mustache permanently lives there, so... there's always one person in chat, pretty much. And if nobody else is there, then he's in the chat thread telling us all to go in. And, of course, if you can reach us through the Facebook page, you just simply got to search for negativeworld.org. Or you can reach us on Twitter, @negative_world. And, yeah... So, you know, this is a really great podcast, everybody, Jamie and Joe, and, you know, special thanks to Greg and to Anand for your, you know, contribution to this episode. And, you know, stay tuned soon. We're going to have technically part 2, but episode 34 is going to be coming up quicker than normal, I believe. And we're going to have more E3 fun to talk about there. So,
very good. Sounds good, Steve.
Again, thanks, guys, and thanks everyone out there for listening, and, you know, we'll see you soon.
Later.
Bye. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Negative World podcast.
Joe.
Hello, everyone.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Was that like, I'm sorry, was that like your like running gag? Did you always used to do that on here? I mean, I know that Greg does. I know that's Greg's thing, but.
No, this is the first opportunity that I've ever done my Greg Lake impression.
Okay.
Ahoy, ahoy. Yeah.
You know, I think
But they come out with a new Mario game. It's usually quite interesting, but I don't know if the Bills aren't going to do very well this season, but I have faith that they might do a little better.
Oh my god.
I miss Greg Lee.